is the last Sunday in August, and good Lord willing, there's will be five Sundays in September. And if He'll help us, we'll try to finish up the book of Revelation on the fourth Sunday, September the 22nd, is what I'd like to do. And the last Sunday in September, the 29th, we're going to try to start the book of Genesis. And we won't just be starting a new book, we'll be starting over again in the Bible.
Right.
We just finished a trek. It was a good journey.
Yeah, it was.
It's been a long journey, but I've been blessed. And this five Sundays in September, it's going to be a great time to bring a visitor contest. Don't get too excited. The name of it is Seekers Sunday School September Celebration. All S's.
Hey.
Alliterated. And the plan is the five Sundays, we're going to draw a line, add it up, and whoever brings the most visitors gets a brand new Bible of your choice. I almost messed up and ordered a Bible this week to hold it up so you could say you get this Bible. But the more I looked at them, there's so many choices. And here's what I think we're going to do. It's never been done before. It's something brand new. And like the preacher likes to fix a meal for us, well, I just want to get us a good Bible. And I really like it when Brother Tom's paying for it. He already said he'd pay for it. And you're going to have your own choice. I mean, if a lady won, she wanted a white one. A man, he'd want a black one. So I didn't buy a Bible. And we'll give you some choices. And there's some rules. There's some rules. Now, next Sunday, you don't want to forget this, because next Sunday I'm going to say, did anyone bring a visitor? We're starting next Sunday.
Right.
Boom. You bring one visitor for five Sundays, that's five visitors.
Right.
If you bring one family of five, and mom and dad stay up here, and three young'uns go downstairs, that's 5 points if they come one Sunday. That's five visitors. It doesn't matter if they go in Dennis's room. Matter of fact, Dennis is going to play with us. If he brings visitors and they come in this room, one of his students bring a visitor, they come in this room, that's a visitor for that student, whoever it is. And I'll give you a little clue. If you invite 10 people, you'll probably get a visitor. You're going to have to invite 10 to get one, okay?
Yeah.
Maybe 20.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Yeah, maybe 20. And now, a visitor, here's the definition of a visitor. That's someone that hadn't been here for a year or more. That could be a visitor.
Right.
It's as important to get them back in as it is to get a new one in.
Amen.
And strangers are visitors, or new people are visitors. And again, the children downstairs, they count. And we're going to take roll at 10 o'clock. If your visitor comes at 11, that's great, but the preacher will count them, not me.
Right.
And the Lord will count them, but I can't count them at 11.
Right.
I can count them at 10. One choice you could have, here's gift Bibles. I give a lot of them away. Gave one away this week. A girl came with my family from Italy. She's an Italian, didn't have a Bible. I gave her one of these gift Bibles. They're in my office. You can have one of them if you want. Now, we are talking only King James. Brother Tom's not going to pay for nothing else. And Brother Jared, if you can get him slowed down, he's got a nice Bible he carries around from local church Bible publishers in Michigan. If you want one of those, you check out his Bible. If that's what you want, you tell Brother Tom, he'll order it for you. Or tell me. If there's a tie, it's no problem. We'll get to it. I've seen ties and this kind of thing before. And we're talking about, the words are going to be the same. We're talking about what kind of leather's on the back of it, what kind of paper, what kind of font, what kind of print, what kind of layout. You can have, I saw a Bible that's got all the way across. It doesn't have two columns. And I saw one that's got paragraphs. If you want a Bible like the preacher's, Scripture Truth told me they'd get me the best Schofield possible. Maybe he'll let you look at his. I don't know if he'll let you hold it or not. What?
I ain't had Schofield for years.
Anyway, if you want a Schofield, that's what we'll get you.
Yeah, I got the same thing Jerry got.
Hey, if I get another Bible, that's what I'm going to get.
Yeah. Local church.
Yeah. Amen. I love them. If Jared and I sit together, I happen to have something else, but our Bibles are the same. We'll say, look on page 360, and what he has is the same as what I got. This is a Cambridge, by the way. Now, I'll put on the back of your handout this morning an address, because I knew you couldn't remember this. It's Evangelical Bible Company. It's .co.company. Now, .com might get you to the same place, but I googled .evangelicalbible.company, and I looked at they've got four quality Bibles. You can get a King James Scholar, a King James Cambridge, a King James Allen, a King James Crossway. You can get calf skin, goat skin, and there's two examples out there on that podium when you leave here. You can feel and see the difference between calf skin and goat skin. Brother Matt will be out there and explain the difference to you. I saw a desert camel that looked wonderful. Probably somebody's going to want that. They got a black pearl, and they've got Canterbury print, Traverse print. You can get a paragraph, two columns, wide margin, narrow margin. They've got what they call there's a marble mahogany. Somebody might want that. There's a turquoise series for the Cambridge, and that goat skin out there is a turquoise series, but it's black. Now, Kelly, my daughter-in-law, has a turquoise series just like that, but the back of it's turquoise and the edges of the pages are turquoise. But that one's a turquoise series, but it's a black Bible. Cambridge produced their first Bible in 1591. Get a little bit of history. And by the way, that's what the preacher has now, a Cambridge. Allen, they were founded in 1863 in Glasgow, Scotland, and they have hand-bound Bibles. World renowned. And then there's Crossway. You might get your name on it. That's another reason I'm glad I didn't order it. I think Brother Tom will pay for that. Now, Dennis and Garth, if you get them slowed down, they've got a couple of nice Bibles. They're Thomas Nelson. And I think they're goatskin. Now, they got theirs in Amish country. Now, you go in that big grocery store out there in Berlin, or one of those indoor flea markets has a Bible bookstore in it, and maybe you could feel their Bible, look at their Bible, see if that's what you want. And then Kennedy and McKinley, they've got Thompson chain references. If you get them slowed down, maybe that's what you'll want. But you got a month to shop and drool and slobber over these Bibles and figure out which one you want. September the 29th, we're going to draw a line and add them up. Somebody's going to get a brand new Bible. Revelation 19. Brother Bobby, how about praying for us? Thank you. Amen. Amen. Revelation 19. It's the bloodbath at Armageddon.
Yeah.
The Lamb defeats both sinners and Satan at Armageddon. The first 10 verses are the glory feast in heaven. Then starting in verse 11, the rest of the chapter is the gory feast on earth.
Yeah.
Starts off in verse 1, said after these things. Well, what things? Well, after chapter 1 is things in the past, the things thou hast seen. In chapter 2 and 3, it's church things. It's after the church things. And then we come on over, there's seal judgments. It's after the seal things. And then on over, there's some vile judgments, bold judgments. It's after the vile things. And then there's trumpet judgments. It's after the trumpet things. All that's past. There's a drastic change in the tone now in Revelation. Tribulation's going to be over with right here, real quick. Somber gives way to song. Darkness gives way to light. Blackness of night gives way to white light. And from dreary days of judgment to bright days of blessing. Starting off here also, it says, Revelation 19:1, after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That's the same word as hallelujah. And it's the same word in every language in the world. In Spanish, it's hallelujah. In France, it's hallelujah. In Italy, it's hallelujah.
Yeah.
In English, it's hallelujah. The word means praise our God. It's an adoring exclamation. You got it five times maybe, in this chapter. And it's the only place you got it in the Bible. It's the only place. Let's read about it. It says, after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah. Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments. For He hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged, past tense, the blood of His servants at her hand. We'll read a verse about that here in a minute. This vengeance, God, He promised it over in Romans. We're going to read it in a minute. He promised He would avenge, take care of our enemies, and He's doing it right here. Past tense, E-D. He avenged the enemy. He hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. Let's read it. It's Romans 12:19. I can't wait. Let's just go ahead.
Yeah.
Romans 12:19. Yes, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. No use me and God both worried about it. He's going to take care of it. He already said He did. Would, so that's just the same as past tense. But rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Back to Revelation now, 19:4. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Verse 5, and the voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God. Well, I think that's a hallelujah right there. It's an adoring exclamation. That's what hallelujah means, praise God. It's an adoring exclamation. Praise God, all ye servants and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let's check it out again in Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Yeah.
We've been reading about the glory down through here. Verse 1, salvation and glory and honor and power unto our God. Hey, we're really there. Yeah. We're here now. And we're not going to remember that past suffering.
Right.
It's not worth remembering. I know the song says it'll be worth it all. Someday when I see Christ, it's worth it all right now.
Yes, it is.
It's okay if I go ahead and say that.
Yes, it is.
It's worth it all right now.
Yeah.
This is a better life.
Yes, amen.
Than what I was involved in. This is a better life. Verse 7 and 8. Let's see. Sister Judy and Brother Jennings gave me a saying this morning from their preacher down the road. He said it doesn't matter if we come from Yale or jail.
Yeah.
Verse 7 and 8, Revelation 19. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor. Anybody glad?
Yeah.
He said, go ahead. Floyd said, I said rejoice. They're not rejoicing.
Yeah.
Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him for the marriage. Girls, we're going to a wedding. Don't get too excited, but we're going to a wedding.
Yeah.
Let's be glad and rejoice and give honor unto Him, for the marriage of the capital L Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready.
Yeah.
And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And we've been learning about that on Thursday night. We have nothing. I've done nothing. I have no righteousness. It's all imputed. It all come from Him. He made a great big cloak room, got a bunch of white robes hanging back there, and there's one just for me. There's one just for you. He did that. I didn't do it. He did it. The most thrilling experience believers will ever have is right here. It was pictured. We've been reading about it for years over in Ephesians 5. But it's becoming reality here in 19. It's real. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Why? That He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. Why? That He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. It's happened right here in 19, 7 and 8. It's happening. It's happening. Even John the Baptist said that he was only a friend of the bridegroom.
Right.
John 3:29. John 3:29, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Wonder what would cause Brother Rick to rejoice greatly. What makes me rejoice greatly? Is it the voice?
Yeah.
Is it the bridegroom's voice? This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. It's going to happen right here in 19. It's going to happen in chapter 19. The wedding gown will be used only once. And we will be clothed in Christ's righteousness for eternity.
Yeah.
For eternity. That's how I got in. I don't know how you got in. That's how I got in right there. We'll be on display throughout eternity. The fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Philippians 3:9. Philippians 3:9. And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. My buddy's dealing with some Seventh-day people, and they're under the law. They can't understand this. They don't understand that keeping the law. Number one, we don't keep the law. Number two, if I did, it wouldn't be my righteousness. It's His righteousness. It's His righteousness is how we get in. He does everything. He does everything. Ephesians 2:7. That in the ages to come, that's Revelation 19, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Yeah. Not through being good, not through getting baptized, not through keeping the law, but through Christ, the righteousness of Christ. Revelation 19:9-10. The marriage of the lambs will take place in heaven. And He saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at His feet to worship Him. And He said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. That wasn't the Lord talking. There's no red letters in chapter 19. And He told John, He said, don't worship me. I'm one of you. He said, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. We see a picture of this marriage in Matthew 25. The first 13 verses. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto the 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all, the wise and the unwise, slumbered and slept. And at midnight, the midnight cry, midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, of Holy Spirit, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward, are you ready? Matthew says also, "Be ye therefore ready."
Right.
Are you ready this morning? It's not too late this morning. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." This is a picture of the supper. Both Israelites and Gentiles are invited guests. The marriage supper ushers in the millennium period when Christ lives here on earth for 1,000 years and we're with him. Matter of fact, the supper is going to last 1,000 years. I guess it's going to be like one of those cruises y'all told me about where you can go get whatever you want to eat 24/7. And the marriage supper is going to be the longest supper on record, 1,000 years. At the end of the millennium, the church will still be called the bride. 1,000-year honeymoon. Now back to Revelation 19, verse 11. The gory feast on earth.
Yeah.
It starts back in Revelation 14. 14:14. "And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one set like unto the Son," capital S, Son of Man, "having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, 'Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe.' And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped."
Yeah.
"And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, 'Thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the cluster of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe.' And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. You see, it continues in 16:16. "And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon." Now, this gory feast is a great climactic event of Christ coming to the earth a second time. For the rapture, he just comes to the clouds. He doesn't touch down. But here, he's going to touch down, and the Mount of Olives is going to split from east to west. Here's a poem. The first time he came, "They all were looking for a king to slay their foes and lift them high. Thou camest a little baby thing that made a woman cry." Now, on Thursday night, we were reminded that it's really, the miracle's really not the virgin birth. When Mary had baby Jesus, it was like every other birth that's ever been.
Right.
The miracle was the conception.
Right.
God the Father put the seed there. A woman doesn't have a seed. The Bible talks about the seed of a woman, but it's because God the Holy Ghost put it there. That was the miracle. That was the miracle.
Right.
Revelation 19, starting in 11. "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness," yes, that's right, He doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, wisdom, power. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. Do you know anybody that wears a vest dipped in blood?
Only one.
Yeah, only one. And his name is called the, capital W, word of big G, God.
Yeah.
And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That came from verse 8. It's the same ones that's in verse 8. Verse 15, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Verse 16, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, capital K, capital I, capital N, capital G, big king of big kings and Lord of lords, all caps.
Right.
That's his name. That's who we're talking about. He puts down all unrighteousness before he establishes his righteous kingdom. Heaven was open in chapter 4 to let John and the church in, and now it's opened to let Christ out, to let him exit. He does not just tell the truth. Jesus is the Bureau of Standards of Truth. Capital T, truth. He's the yardstick of truth. And all of us come short and are crooked, but not him. If you do not love Jesus, it's going to be a very uncomfortable time, because he is the dictator. There won't be a chicken peep, there won't be a rooster crow, a man won't move without him saying so. We're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It'll be his permission. When we received him, we started the school. I'm just beginning to learn something. Now, I'm going to skip some of these verses. They're on your paper. You can take them home. We've read them before, I think. Isaiah 34, Isaiah 63, Joel 3. That should be your homework this week. How did we do on homework last week? Did we read chapter 51? Anyway, the computer says that since 3600 B.C., 6,000 years, you might as well say, 5,600, the world has known 292 years of peace. During that time, there's been 14,531 wars and 3.6 billion people killed. But by far, the bloodiest, the biggest, the boldest, the baddest, the most brazen, the most blasphemous war is right here, Armageddon.
Yeah.
In Ezekiel 38, Russia invades from the north, but now nations come from all over against little Israel and against Jerusalem. We'll see here in a minute. Russia came for Israel's wealth. Now the beast and the pumpkins that followed him are going to destroy the Lamb and his people. Gog leads the Russian invasion, but now the Antichrist leads against Jesus. The location, it's 200 miles from the Mediterranean to Moab, with Jerusalem in the middle and four valleys branching out. This is where Deborah and Barak beat Canaan. This is where Gideon beat Midian in Judges 7. This is where the Philistines killed Saul in 1 Samuel 31. This is where David killed Goliath in 1 Samuel 17. This is where an Egyptian killed Josiah in 2 Kings 23. It's a famous valley. The reason for the battle? God. God. Zephaniah 3:8. Now, we read this a while back, and if you remember, the Hebrews say in their Hebrew Bible, this verse has every letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And they believe this is the purpose of God. Verse 8, therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, Even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. God's determination is his indignation. That's what Joel said. That's what Joel said. Zephaniah said, the nations are deceived by Satan, and the nations hate Christ. And they come in particular, those first verses in Isaiah are for everyone. But now let's do read these in Psalm 2. They're coming against Jerusalem. All the nations are coming in, not just against Israel, but against Jerusalem. Against Jerusalem. Psalm 2. We read this not too long ago, but it's great. I can't skip it. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord. How stupid can you get? And against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Derision is contempt of court. God's going to laugh at attempts to dethrone his Savior. Verse 5. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my kings upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree the Lord has said unto me. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. I think I'll just trust him. I think I'll just go with him. Worked out real good so far. Revelation 11. Talking about the battle of Armageddon now. It's winding down. Revelation 11, 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world are come, and the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Verse 18, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them that destroy the earth. 12:12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens. The ones that's been avenged are rejoicing. Heaven's rejoicing. And ye shall dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and to the sea. For the devil's come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Acts 1. Verses starting in 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. We're talking about he is Jesus. And a cloud, this is after the resurrection, a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, not another, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. The chronology of the battle is, it tells us in Revelation 16:2, the first thing that's going to happen so this can happen is the Euphrates River is going to be dried up. Revelation 16:12, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. The destruction of Jerusalem, Revelation 19, 17 through 19. And I saw an angel standing in the sun. He cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse. How about that? On the horse and against his army. The destruction of Jerusalem. Well, I think we're going to have to quit right there. Dear Heavenly Father, you're great. Thank you for writing it down. Lord, you're the great God and our Savior. And we worship you, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen.